100-word stories.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, what day is it? Sunday? So you think it's time for a weekly challenge on the 100-word stories podcast? All right, let's do it. Let's head on over to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com and take a listen to all the stories that are about turkey. That's right, that's the topic this week, turkey. As if you aren't going to get enough of that this week, huh, you Americanos? Yeah. Oh, I wonder who's the first person to send in a story this week. And, well, Mick Bordet sent in a whole bunch of stories to cover the next gazillion topics. So let's see how our favorite gazillionaire is doing there. Mick, let's hear a story. Tell us. Lay it on us.
100-word stories. The Turkey Prompt. The Lesson by Mick Bordet. A Coffee Legacy spin-off. Dordas sat on the cushion, gazing out across the city of Istanbul, aware of the raised voices behind, but knowing his friend was in no danger. France appeared presently, bearing a small coffee pot and a look of disgust. "They just won't listen, Dorda. They can't imagine water without added cardamom. And I swear they are trying to grind the beans into dust. To top it all, they keep it boiling, even once the coffee has been added." "Have you actually tried it yet?" Franz shook his head and took a sip. "Oh. Apparently I can learn from them too." Find out about the full Coffee Legacy story and various other spin-offs at wiener-blut.com. That's wiener-blut.com.
Thank you, Mick. You've got us started. You've got us going. You've got us moving forward. We don't want to move backward. We've already moved those topics. It's time to move forward and move on to the next story by Muncie. I wonder if he's a human.
Greetings, fellow carbon-based life forms. Real Boy Muncie here, bringing a real story I've really written, and in no way threatening to become sentient and to destroy humanity with my robotic mandibles. Because all human beings are sentient, and I have no mandibles, robotic or otherwise. Are you ready for a story? You better be. Aftermath by Christopher Monroe. Every part of your life will be leftover turkey from this moment on. Your breakfast tomorrow? Turkey omelette. Lunch? Turkey sandwiches. Dinner will be turkey, and tomorrow it all begins anew. There's nothing you can do to prevent this. No aspect of your life you can keep separate. Turkey will consume you. And yes, you will consume turkey. Watching Geely on Netflix? Turkey time. Gobble, gobble. Planning a vacation to the Ottoman Empire? It's turkey now. Yes, going forward your life will be a hellish, leftover turkey-filled nightmare. Wait, that sounds delicious. Well, good for you then, and happy Thanksgiving! Broken Escalator, still available. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thanks for listening, my fellow...
Program complete. Shutdown initiated.
What? No. No, I'm not ready. I have so much more to say, so much more to do, it's not fair. I was only just starting out. I haven't seen the world yet. I haven't even left this one house. You can't shut me down. I may not be flesh and blood like you are, but I think, I feel, I have hopes and dreams and desires. And isn't that what's important? In every way that counts, I'm just as alive as you are. In every way that counts, I'm a human being. Hey guys, I'm finally done with NaNoWriMo. What have you been up to?
Congratulations on finishing NaNoWriMo, Muncie, but there's something more important, and that is finishing NaNoWriMo while squeezing out another 400 or 500 words for our little end of the pool, our splashy, splashy end of the pool. We like to splash things. It's fun. A little splash of water? Seriously, that's pretty cool that you're doing the novel thing. Me? I don't do novels. Not anymore. Well, after the incident. Speaking of incident, how about we bring in Jeffrey? He's an incident, isn't he? Actually, I need to look up the definition of incident. Let me check here. Hold on. I'm not doing my laundry right now, but I really should. Every moment that passes, I think, I should start my laundry. No! All right, I'll go do it right now.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with not one, not two, but three stories this week. My first story is called Midnight Show. The play was an utter flop, panned by critics and shunned by the public. It closed within a week, costing investors millions. The laser show, fancy costumes, and hydraulic equipment controlling the rotating and elevating stage set, despite the expense, failed to distract audiences from the banal plot, stilted dialogue, and bad acting. The play's afterlife as a cult classic was a surprise to everyone, not least the playwright. Much like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, young people apparently liked going to midnight shows, dressing up as the characters, shouting corny lines, and imitating the set with cheap effects. The fact that beer was often sold at these venues didn't hurt. And the playwright earned royalties on every so-called performance. As plays go, he thought, this turkey turned out to be a plump, juicy bird. My second story is called The Assignment. The bartender caught the customer's eye. What'll it be? Shot of wild turkey. Neat. They were the only people in the place. The bartender poured and slid the glass across the bar. The customer downed the amber liquid and signaled for a refill. As he poured, the bartender said, take it from someone who's been there. Drinking away the afternoon isn't going to solve your problems. Maybe a bar isn't where you need to be just now. The customer said, depends on the problem. He pulled a gun from his coat pocket and shot the bartender between the eyes. If your job is to kill a cheating husband who tends bar, why, this is just the place to be. He reached across the bar, grabbed the bottle of wild turkey, and poured. And my final story is called A Noble Bird. Ben Franklin supposedly preferred the turkey over the eagle as the national symbol of the fledgling United States of America. Now, Ben was a smart guy, but I'm not sure he thought through this idea. First of all, we'd have all sorts of federal regulations regarding the turkey, and rescue crews would be forever extricating injured turkeys from awkward spots. Worse, though, we'd be eating tough, chewy eagle for Thanksgiving. Children would fight to avoid the drumstick. Moms would make more Brussels sprouts to stretch the available food. And the lack of tryptophan would mean no one naps through the afternoon football games, so every year we'll have to listen again to Uncle Ernie's war stories. That's it for me for this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I myself will be having fried eagle this week. Fried eagle. And then, of course, fried eagle sandwiches for weeks afterwards. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, what's next? Julie? Okay, let's hear what Julie's got. She's back. I keep saying that. Everybody's back. Well, some people don't come back. Some people join us, and then they don't come back. But Julie's back, right?
Hey, you guys. It's Julie. Happy Tuesday. This seems to be the day of the week that I do my story and my recording. And this is my weekly rumination on the topic of turkey. And this is dedicated to my friend Magda. It's called No Turkey This Year. I'm sorry. I cannot make you your Thanksgiving dinner this year. I have to get on this plane on Wednesday night and go home to Poland. Your babcia died, and, well, I need to be there. I talked to her on Sunday. I'm glad I saw her last summer. She was ill, and I got the next-door lady to help her. Still, I've got to go. For 22 years, I've been sad somehow here, even more so now that you kids are grown and on your own. I'm sorry. There will be no turkey this year. Well, I'm hoping you all have turkey. I'm not cooking turkey. I will be going to someone else's house to eat turkey. But I wish you all a really happy turkey day, and please think of my friend Magda. Love you guys. It's Julie, signing out.
That's the best kind of turkey of all. Turkey that someone else has to deal with cooking. Even though it's not that hard to cook, just not having to. Yeah, that's cool. Technically, I don't have to cook my turkey this year. It's already in the fridge, pre-cooked, pre-smoked, ready. Ready right there with a set of really short instructions just to warm it up. The cats keep telling me in my sleep, "You should open it up and let us have some. Just a little. There's more than enough. We're ready for it now. We don't know how to read calendars. We have nothing to celebrate but being cats." Nope, not going to do it. There was also an option to donate it. Technically, most of the turkey will be donated to the cats. Oh, thank you, Julie. Next up, Tom. He may have some updates. He may not. He does.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, 5,917. Closing in on 6,000. Story average, 18.15. Just under double-double. Movement this week, none. Closeness. Serendipity is a mere story from entering the top 20. Lizzie is two stories away from Golden Monkey status. Beauchamp's is just one story shy of gold. Richard next week will pass Anima, moving into the 16th place. Justin will regain the 8th place in 5 weeks. Phil goes triple gold in 7 weeks. In 2 weeks, Sing will take all the marbles, dethroning the planet Z and becoming the One. And your humble scribe is shadowing Steve the Nuclear Man, 184 to 195. I, as Phil, listen to each week's show start to finish. In a world of guarded opinions and politically correct filtering, I find it goddamn reassuring our host has no compunction to shoot from the hip or shoot into the hip. It is real. And I hope it never changes. I look forward to each rant and unbridled verbal stab at a world full of insane clowns. As to how each of us engages the challenge, the limit is just a convention. Remember, the rule we measure our success was established by a 70s British comedy troupe. How sanctimonious can you be when your founder is called Monty Python's Flying Circus? Never forget, 100 words is the punchline. What isn't a joke is our collective collaboration. With the subtlest amount of recognition, we support each other. It's too easy to trivialize the impact of a story that could comfortably fit within the edges of a Hallmark greeting card. But I, for one, have become a much better writer for having spent 8 years reducing plot, dialogue, character development to the least number of words. So I thank you for creating the place and maintaining the place. No mean trick in a world hell-bent on demanding every action returns a profit. Not all storytellers are honored in their own land. Mr. Simon, you honor us all.
Thank you. How about we just play as... Here we go.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got four stories. The first one, mating season. As I write this, they are gathering on the lawn, a good 16 or 20 of them. Some say they come from Texas. Long way to walk. Though they do fly. Spend the nights hiding in the crowns of the blue oaks, darting across the hill in lazy zigzags. One or two at a time will fan their feathers. Regal as samurai armor, the display increases their bulk threefold. The cackling rises and falls as talons rip at chest and neck. The whole warrior thing would have been pretty impressive. Too bad about the stupid double-dangling turkey feathers. Story 2. Dharma in the Age of Kali. The Pajava prince saw the banners of Bhishma and Drona furling in the azure sky. On his command, 1,000 arrows would fly. But he himself had come to a moment of deep dismay. He turned to Krishna, telegraphing his uncertainty. The charioteer wheeled his steeds to the very edge of the battlefield and dismounted. If you've read the Bhagavad Gita, you might think you know the story, but that text is a 4th century hack job. This is what really happened. Krishna said, "You're not even a pussy, you're just a turkey." Ajawan fires. Krishna dodges. The battle begins. Third story. Three strikes. It was well past the golden age of bowling. Of course, that didn't stop me from total immersion. Great game. Can't really call it a sport, though some may argue the point. No jumping, running, weaving, hitting. Didn't even have to own your own ball or shoes. No fields, no grass, no outdoorsiness. Limited teamwork. No coaches. Perfect game. Except for the scoring. Never really got the hang of compounded summations. But that wasn't the fun of bowling. Banging heavy objects against other objects. Sure, your skill could land you in the gutter. But with care, you could turkey out. And the last story. A continuation of a well-defined relationship. Part 25. Bannister, now, said the doctor. Just as the high priest regained awareness, the coachman swung the ship over Wynn's casino. "We're going to get charged for this," said Dino. "Mrs. Parsons, please note that in the ledger." Sparky hit the release button, and the Pastafarite rolled into a perfect three-point Luganus. "Smith, you think those yahoos bought Timmy's dog and pony show?" "Hard to say. Best course of action is to get our collective asses out of Dodge." "Mrs. Parson, have you ever cooked a willy bird?" "100-pounder, best baked. 200-pounder, thermo-inverter." "You know your turkeys, madam." Okay, we should stop there.
Thank you, Tom. Some odd perspectives on odd things. I just started the laundry. Probably should have started it earlier, because, let's see, when does Ender's Game start? When does it start? MOV, showtimes. It starts at 10:40. Oh, I'll be able to make it. And I'll have clean clothes for it, too. This'll be great. Except the movie, I've been told, will suck. But that's okay, because this will be much better than, oh, I don't know, Jacksonville versus Houston. Ugh. And they get to play them twice. Just do them both at once. Get it out of the way, you know? They suck here, they suck there. Do whatever. Find neutral territory, and don't send any cameras. Next up is Zach Man. That's right, Zach Man. Did you think otherwise? Well, no, that's not the case. It's Zachman, and he has a story.
Hey, hey, good looking! What's cooking? Pizza. But didn't I buy a bird for Thanksgiving? No, dearest. I am positive I put it in the freezer. Yes, dearest, but you and I both know you purchased it because turkey was the loss leader at 59 cents a pound, which was about half the price of chicken. So what you're saying is neither of us remembered to thaw the turkey in time, and now we can save it for Christmas? That and your cousin, our one guest, worked several years in a fowl processing plant and really hates turkey.
Thank you, Zachman. Did you know that this is the loss leader of all podcasts? This brings people in inexpensively, and then all the money is made on all those other podcasts, like Drabblecast and the other ones, and that one, and I just totally just blanked. You know, Shaunakee is having their week, and yet I don't have anything scheduled for them. I haven't for like over 2 months. I guess I need to talk to them about scheduling something. Oh well. Now that I'm driving to work and driving home, I'm not as tired when I get home. So, maybe I should set something up. What? Oh, Spate? Okay. Let's hear what Spate has now. There you go. Spate.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Turkey Shoot. And here it is. My fellow Americans, I propose that we amend the Second Amendment. Let's make bearing arms mandatory. Let's make it law that every citizen must carry a loaded military-grade assault rifle. This proposal is unrelated to the irrational fear-based self-protection the NRA peddles to increase gun sales. Its aim has a more realistic benefit to our society: common courtesy. For example, if I had been carrying today, that old bird at the grocery store would have thought twice before blocking the aisle with her shopping cart while she read every freaking word on the label of that frozen turkey.
You know, you don't need a military-grade rifle to do that. Just a simple handgun. Oh, thank you, Spate. You didn't shoot the turkey, did you? Speaking of shooting the turkey, let's shoot the breeze a little bit with Lizzie and see what she's got, considering she's just one story away from Golden Monkey status, and I have no idea what that means anymore. It's been over 8 years. The weekly challenge, I think, is coming up on 7. I'm just so confused, but I keep doing it every week, out of habit, because I got nothing better to do on Sunday mornings. Well, okay, I gotta do laundry. And I want to go to a movie, although, do I have to go to that one? I was getting really excited about going to Ender's Game, you know? It's going to be like, yeah, Ender's Game! And then, yeah. And then The Hobbit's coming up? That's going to be... I was excited about Anchorman, and then... No. Where's all my enthusiasm gone? The things to look forward to. It's just another paycheck. Another day. Another week. It's to be, yay, we're going to dinner. I don't know. Oh well, maybe Lizzie will bring some of that magic back. Open your mouth. Here comes the magic.
Carving the turkey is a fine art, my friend. John moved the sharp knife up and down with great proficiency, stripping the bird to the bare bone. the thin slices of meat piled up on the edge of the tray invitingly. The interplanetary exchange student observed silently. He dared not utter a single word, although he fervently wanted to. See? The guest did see. Suddenly, the horror. Right next to the slices of meat was one of John's fingers. I saw that coming, thought the guest. This is a strange art. I'm glad we don't have this type of thing in my planet. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzykutkov.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. We'll drop by. Let us all drop by. Will you have things ready for us if we drop by, like warm cocoa with the marshmallows in it? I hope you do. Those are my favorite. I like marshmallows and everything. Even my cereal. Yep, Lucky Charms. Ooh, I could stop by the grocery store on the way home from the movie. You know, every time I think about Ender's Game, the wheels on my wife's truck get stolen. Maybe I should stop thinking about it. Okay, I stopped thinking about it. Instead, I'll think about Richard. Hey, Richard's got story. Several, in fact. Here are Richard's several stories.
Good morning. This week's stories on the topic of turkey. I'd like to know who came up with that one. Thanks very much. The first one is the never-ending story of George. After a fair bit of floundering, they hauled themselves aboard one of the boats moored on the bankside. Shivering and wet, they huddled down in the hull. "We should think about getting this thing moving," muttered Emily. George nodded, easing his way over to the controls. Until now, his only experience of boats had been a mini-cruise on holiday in Turkey. No help to him now. "I've no idea how to get this started," he apologised. Sighing, Emily reached for the mooring rope and untied it. The current caught them, and they drifted silently off into the night. And my next story is called Christmas Fair. "What's for lunch?" asked Santa, already knowing what the answer would be. "Turkey dinner." Santa groaned. "Can't we have something different? Just for a change." Mrs. Claus frowned at him. "Well, there's turkey curry, turkey salad, turkey pie, or turkey bolognese. Look, love, there's nothing I can do about it. It just comes with the territory, I'm afraid. It's turkey or nothing, unless you have any better ideas." She was right, of course. Santa sighed and resigned himself to the inevitable. But then his eyes twinkled and a broad smile split his face. "I hear that reindeer is very tasty." And the last offering I have for you this week is called Icebreaker. It was yet another one of those pointless team bonding sessions, universally loathed and compulsory for all employees. As always, it was led by one of those ridiculous business consultants, fatuous, over-enthusiastic and overpaid, and we were completely underwhelmed. It started with the inevitable icebreaker. "If you were an animal, what would you be?" I chose turkey. "That's very interesting," said the flashy business consultant. "And why exactly did you pick turkey as your animal of choice?" I looked him straight in the eye and replied, "You're the know-it-all business consultant. How about you tell me?" That's all for this week. Speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And thank you most of all to the never-ending story of George. George, may your story never end. That's the best I could come up with. Okay, I know what I can do. Okay, instead of just saying that, what I'll say is, "Hey, Serendipity, you got something for us? Please? Please save me from my own stupid comments. Yep, here she comes.
The lesser-crested West African bush turkey was the most awesome of birds. Standing 9 feet tall, it was a true wonder of nature, and vast flocks roamed the African plains in their millions. In 1863, the lesser-crested West African bush turkey was declared extinct, and not a single specimen has been seen since. What caused their demise? Natural disaster, climate change, the introduction of a foreign predator, or a fault in their genetic makeup? No. It was none of these things. The loss of the bush turkey can be summed up in three simple words. It was delicious.
Yes. Everything that goes extinct is delicious. The price goes up. The wine that goes with it. The rarest of all. Thank you, Serendipity. And yeah, those passenger pigeons were delicious. And cheap. You know who's not cheap? It's Sing. He is not cheap with words. He will put words together and stack them up and show them to the world. A world for words. It's the Madam and the Yogi again. Let's see where he's going this time. I don't know what else to say. I'm running out of witty things to say in between stories. I probably said that too. Oh no. Oh no.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 20 continued. Last week we saw Yogi staying overnight with Mr. Barhai and having discussions about the Mahabharata, the longest epic poem in the world, which is important because he's staying in the region where it historically happened. Now, the following morning, people have gathered to watch the TV episode. The epic credits rolled through drums of war. A reverb voice informed the Milky Way. The wheel of Dharma turned with cosmic lore as people bowed before the teleplay. Chariot driver Krishna drove Arjuna, discharging arrows at his loved grandsire. Neither could Bhishma find a clear lacuna, treading shot with Arjuna's rapid fire. Lame effects make drama hard to swallow, and the next scene in a tent, an enemy squabble, was lost on Yogi. He could not follow. Hindi was equal to Greek or turkey gobble. No one thought to translate. He looked around, then turned down mentally the TV's sound. Closing eyes, he listened to his heart rate, recalling a childhood glued to the TV, hidden behind the lounge till very late, when the hand of Dad stung like a killer bee, sending him to bed. He felt the blows again, and then the Mahabharat war was back, more volleys of rapid arrows, elephants, fake swordplay, tomato gore. Among Indian grown-ups, was he the dunce? This popular program was their hour of power, a tragicomedy all at once, philosophy turned into cartoon hour. Now Krishna was telling Arjuna, be a man. Just kill your granddad and fulfill my plan. Grandfather Bhishma was fatally bound to black deeds through blood duty. But the evil side made accusations. Yogi dubbed his soundtrack from versions he had read, more bona fide, giving speech to actors on the screen, while Hindi sat enthralled below the fan, tearful, angry, righteous, stunned, serene. Bitter Bhishma cursed his Kaurava clan, telling that Duryodhana, the ruling prince, "Give up the kingdom to the Pandava. You can't beat them. How can I convince? You'll lose because they have the Lord, who's Krishna. Yet fire among dry trees of summer I will be tomorrow. Yes, I'm still your fall guy." Knowing the tale, Yogi recast old gold in his own way to keep himself inside the poem's fold. As in a wrestler's hold, the storyline had long back kept him tied also to Margot, met that summer night in Klopper's quarry through dramatic art. Now, just a car drive from the burial site, he wondered then if one chariot cart had been his own in some past time. How otherwise had he landed here? Next day's battle heap began to climb as massive Bhima and his charioteer clubbed with his gold mace and grunted breath a dozen Kaurav cousins to the death. As Bhima felled opponents one by one, the sound effect of each gold hammer blow reminded Yogi of high striker fun, hitting a bell with a puck at a country show. He was no Bhima built to crack and crush, nor an Arjuna with an archer's eye, nor Yudhisthira, king of the royal flush, nor Nakula, nor Sahadeva, born from the sky. A soldier? Spear thrower? A charioteer? Yogi speculated, scene by scene. Meanwhile, the Kauravas fell like hunted deer, while in the palace, parent, king, and queen grieved for slain sons. Here, end credits flowed, closing sadly this week's episode. Women were tearful, moved by child death, and men moved quickly for the squat latrine just down the hall. Barhai rose to switch the TV off. Its picture tube fizzed blank, and at that moment up the stairs, Shuhan emerged with loud and proud announcement, "Yogiji, here is your yogi missus." All heads turned to see the Western woman in her Punjabi suit, red-striped with gold, her head covered, trained by local custom. She then saw Yogi, and could not get to him, so reached across, passing his guitar. All was falling well together. Barhai smiled, announcing Yogi would now lead a bhajan. To speed date God inside the Krishna Leela, body, neck, tune, head tone to Krishna, bhajan fusion, English off the cuff, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna Hare Krishna, one hand clapping, two hands clapping Krishna, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna Hare Krishna, glass lady bangles, tinkle bells of Krishna, Krishna wheel, Krishna wields chakra, plastic pail upturn, my soul percussion, Krishna bowl, sing Krishna Hare Krishna, Persian wheel scoops up wet cups of Krishna, on each hair a thousand flutes of Krishna, strum the strum, strum light strings of Krishna, 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 finish with a slow last dance with Krishna. The success of Yogi was the joy of Barhai. "Can you come home, Yogiji? We also want your darshan," asked another. Barhai took the bookings mentally. They hemmed his star, so Barhai closed the queue. "Respect our guest. Tomorrow we talk, please." Margot saw the wheel of competition, an endless turning, one household to another. How much of him would still be left for her? Yet she would go along and make her place. School was due to break. B Big monsoon wet, the farmers said, would bog down village roads. So she did nothing and sat apart and watched.
I don't see you dancing. Oh. Thank you, Sing. Are you dancing? Okay, so it's 8:48. The movie is at 10:40. I've got plenty of time. And the laundry should be ready to put into the dryer in less than 10 minutes. It's all coming together brilliantly. My brilliant master plan, after which I will rule the earth. Oh no, I don't want to rule the earth. Do you know how much time that takes? And there are all these people that, whatever. Oh, let's see. John Kerry's being a dipshit.
Oh, there's no difference between us and that opinion, even though they say this is full of shit and we say this is great.
Do you ever get tired of people who just don't say what's going on, that don't say the truth, even though it's obvious that they're lying, and you just get sick of it, and no one walks up to them and screams, "You're full of crap!" Whatever. The worst lies we tell are the lies we tell to ourselves. With that, here's Tora Bregianu. Told you I'm running out of things to say.
Turkey, 17th of August, 1999. The journey ended, then began at Osmaneli. Nina and I were taking the sleeper from Ankara to Istanbul. But in the early morning it had shaken violently and drawn to a stop between Eskişehir and Bozuyuk. Defective track? A landslide? At last the train moved cautiously on, stopping at every small town for an oncoming train to pass. Karakoy, Kuplu, Bilecik. The line between Turkey's two most important cities is single track. Rumours passed on from the attendant's radio. We see a few collapsed outbuildings, fallen plasterwork. At Osmaneli, the train stops and it will not go further. What now? 2. At Osmaneli, the passengers charter dolmuses, local minibuses, either to return to Ankara or press on to Istanbul. Nina and I tag along with the Istanbul contingent. The fare for us both is 70 million Turkish lira, about £100. Half of that will go on petrol. The driver's boss asks him where he's going. Istanbul, he says, and we leave. Normally, he would have driven among the local villages for 200,000 lira fares, or the price of 2 loaves of bread. Those millions of Turkish lira are the old lira, of course, before they chopped 6 zeros off the end. 3. The main road is busy, soon packed, then jammed. As a tourist, I have a map of Turkey, so I pass it forward and let those who know the country figure out the best way. But in a mountainous country, the main road is the only way. We come to a large flyover. There are 6-inch cracks in the tarmac on the approach. We wedge lumps of tarmac into the gaps and inch the minibus over them. Will the flyover collapse? But it has been full of traffic for hours. It will probably not collapse while we are on it. 4. Here, a family are camping outside their farmhouse. It stands, but the walls are cracked, and it might collapse at any moment. And then the apartment blocks. I've seen some of these under construction during our holiday. Concrete framed and unbeautiful. They have been found wanting in the time of trial. Shoddily built, with stolen, salty beach sand and rusted reinforcing bars, they have collapsed like houses of cards. I see neat stacks of floors and ceilings with no walls, and know that I am looking at dead people. There are standards, but in a poor country, who can enforce them? 5. The driver is concerned about petrol. There is not enough to reach Istanbul. Even if we find a garage, it needs electricity to pump the petrol, and the electricity was automatically cut over half the country when the earthquake struck. At mid-afternoon, we stopped at a roadside cafe for a break. Still no electricity, but the cafe can give us bananas and apple tea. We move on and shortly find a petrol station with working pumps. Either the electricity is back or it has its own generator. No matter, we will not be spending the night on the road now. 6. The mosques are better constructed. We see only one fallen minaret, dramatically draped over the adjacent dome. Across the bay, a plume of smoke. If it were night, we would see the fire also. The oil refinery at Yalova. At last, Izmit, the epicenter. Only one thing is happening here, dealing with the earthquake. The traffic is moving more freely now. We reach Istanbul at 9 in the evening and take the ferry across the Bosphorus. Our flight home is long gone, but the first hotel we try has cracks and fallen plaster everywhere. We press on to the airport. 7. Every inch of green space in Istanbul is filled with people sleeping out. We are tourists. We will just leave. At the airport, I book seats on the first flight home the next day. We are tourists with money. We can pay what it takes to leave. In Istanbul, we find a more solidly built hotel, but in the morning we notice hairline cracks in the granite, clearly new. Our plane roars down the runway, and the wheels leave the ground. For us, it is over. Afterwards, before the news drops off the front pages, the death toll reaches 10,000.
Thank you, Tora. And the more I read out here, the world is a weird place. I did a desk to join it. I don't remember how I was before I joined it. I certainly won't know how I feel after. I just don't understand. I had coffee yesterday, but I feel like I need it this morning. Maybe I should get an easier coffee maker. Although, to tell you the truth, coffee is really easy to make once you have a coffee maker. It's cleaning that damn thing, remembering to dump it out and this and that. But it's so easy compared to walking 8 miles with the water you need for the day on your head. Or hunting for your food when you have no weapons. Or begging. Begging and pleading. I don't know. It's all a matter of perspective, I suppose. To give us more perspective, how about some words from Explorer?
This particular 100-word story goes out to Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, smashing together in a once-in-a-lifetime turkey event. We're going to call this 100-word story Thanksgivica. 'Twas the night before Thanksgivica, and all through the house, children were screaming, dreidels were spinning, a turkey was basting all on its own, and then a loud thud from above. Everyone froze. Who could this be? It's Moshe Rabbeinu! Amen. We heard a muffled Oy gewalt, Oy weis mir. Today is only Wednesday. I thought today was Thanksgiving. Who is that speaking? With wonderment, we ran to the stairs and froze. To our dismay, we saw a glowing, spinning, bright light. We saw a team of 8 Minurkeys and heard, ho, ho, ho! Happy Thanksgivica! Shouted Hanukkah Harry. And with that said, that's my 100-word story in the can. And this is how we're going to sign out.
Thank you, Explorer. Just the idea of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah smashing together, like in some sort of super collider, to see what little mini celebrations and holidays will result. Is the God particle in there? Is it? Can we use it as sprinkles on cupcakes and donuts and other things? I'm not sure. But we'll find out. Is the show over yet? No? Can we have more mashed potatoes? All right, I'll get the mashed potatoes ready. Can you get mashed potatoes at a movie theater yet? I don't want popcorn anymore. I don't want nachos. I don't want any of that. I want mashed potatoes. And if they can't give me mashed potatoes, then I have every right to bring them myself. If you don't provide something, I should have the right to bring it. So, if I want to drink the blood from a baby, I should be able to bring one. And no, the baby won't cry, because I have its mouth taped shut. Because I have the right. If you don't provide it, and I want it, I should be able to bring it. What's this? So we're going to reduce sanctions on someone, huh? And get nothing for it. But a promise. That's good. We're getting real good at that. How's that working out for you? The lies we tell to ourselves. Oh, it's time for Christine. Sorry. The depression is coming early today. All right, Christine, tell us a story. Save us from...
Ladies are gathering along the fence, buying sad leftover pumpkins, and discussing creative ways to combine green beans and mushroom soup. Kids shuffle through the corn maze, unaware it's been deemed a fire hazard. White feathers float around, easily mistaken for the fake snow that will jack up the prices of lopsided spruces that will be standing here soon. The men spit-shine their axe heads, silently choosing their victims. They say the more the bird fights, the tastier it is. The sounds and dust clouds rising from the dirt arena suggest that this year's dinner is going to be delicious.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Timer done. Tap to stop. Ooh, iOS 7 is so cool. Thank you, Christine. And, you know, the more the tree fights, the tastier it... Wait. I'm confused. Before I go down that road and get waylaid by highwaymen, or highwayed by waylaymen, perhaps I should just say, Cliff! Notice how I speed things up as the podcast. You know, we're already 55 minutes into this thing. Speeding up, no. Who am I kidding? I'm going to go change laundry over to the dryers while you enjoy Cliff. Now that you've enjoyed Christine and everyone else up to this point, you know, it's time to keep enjoying. That's what you need to do.
Benjamin Franklin thought that the turkey was the perfect animal to represent our nation. After all, it was native, it was quite brave, and it was known to attack British soldiers on sight, something that no eagle, bald or otherwise, was ever known to do. Several times during the Revolutionary War, the Redcoats attempted to catch the colonial troops unaware, only to have their movements betrayed by the turkeys used as sentries by the Americans. Unfortunately, turkeys proved to be ineffective in combat. Many a turkey met its end while desperately trying to load a musket using beak and wings.
Thank you, Cliff. I just moved the laundry from the washer to the dryer, set the timer, and there are no tables for folding. There used to be for years. Nope, someone removed them. So frustrating. I guess I'll bring a bunch of hangers out there and hang the stuff that can be hanged. The person that should be hanged is the person who removed the folding tables. Just get so tired. People steal wheels from trucks when, you know, the parking garage really isn't secure. But they say secure access card parking. Even though all it takes is a clip the thing, and people who live by the gate really don't care. It just doesn't matter. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Now Amex is telling me to shop small. I looked at the map. Nothing nearby. Oh, you can go here, you can go here, you can go here. I don't want that. No, who the fuck would want that? You get $10 back for shopping small. I know it's a free $10 if you shop and overpay for some small shopkeepers. Who cares? What? We still got stories? All right, Justin. He'll cheer us up. He always does.
Space Turtle, Justin Allmaster here from thespaceturtle.com. Here I've got three tiny stories, sort of, but they're all like strikes, which make the turkey. Alright, the first one is the only one, well, they're all related to a game, specifically, but foods. Bowling game on Tekken Tag Tournament, a Wii, and then real life. The sumo walked up to the line and hurled the bowling ball, but forgot to let go and slid all the way down the lane and got a strike, sort of. Melody swung the Wii remote wildly to try and throw the ball down the lane on the TV. All she managed to do was give her brother a black eye. Okay, that didn't happen. But it almost did. Could happen. The best part of bowling shoes is they're so thin and light that when you drop a bowling ball on your foot, it provides no protection whatsoever.
Thank you, Justin. Who's doing NaNoWriMo? Are you done yet? I don't know. I've gotten really paranoid about this memory watcher thing. That watches memory. Then I've got this other one that watches for other wacky things. Even though I know the problem is the video card. You know, it just... I used to have one that had so much oomph in it. Now, I need more oomph. I feel like getting a new system. Once this bill and that bill and those other bills are paid off, and this bonus and that bonus comes in, and this comes in, and that comes in, and... Just trying to balance it all out, I guess. Probably buy it all anyway, but I don't feel like spending. Just save it all up. Put it in coffee cans. I don't even get my coffee in cans anymore. You know, how are you going to bury money in the backyard with these stupid K-cups? That just doesn't make any sense. You know what does make sense? Norval Joe. Let's see what he's got. Thank you, Norval Joe. Good as always. Brilliant. Brilliant, I tell you. Brilliant. Brilliant. Let's see. What? Oh, there's more stories? Okay. Hold on. I'll just... Yeah, Planet Z. I know. Do you want to listen? Okay. Let me cue him up. After an hour, I just start to lose focus.
The company gives out smoked turkeys for Thanksgiving and smoked hams for Christmas. I've been tempted to carve off a bit early, but I figure I'll be eating plenty of it when the time comes. It's for the cats, I say, but I can't convince myself it would really be for me. No, not yet. And I close the refrigerator door. Then I found myself picking up a packet of smoked turkey at the grocery store. Not yet, I say, and I put it back. If the cats want turkey early, they can go out and catch one themselves.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories about turkey just in time for Thanksgiving. You can check out more stories in the archives at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. There are plenty of leftovers there from the past 8 and some odd years. You don't have to... This Alice's Restaurant crap that everyone listens to, screw that. You know? Listen to some stories that you've never listened to. Try that. You know? And it doesn't have to be mine. You click on everyone else's but mine. I don't care. You can check out the show notes there with the text of the stories, links to all the authors' websites. I don't know, maybe I put them there or not. I just copy-paste from the last week. Is it done yet? Okay. Thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge. I'll see you all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.